IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. The last time we spoke about how Kyrie Irving has opted into his player option and then the Brooklyn Nets are going to be stable and they're going to run it back and whatnot. And one day later, literally 24 hours after we recorded, we get to hear that Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets are not going to run it back because they can't run it back because the star player wants to go out. All about Kevin Durant and a few other trades that took place in over the last week of madness. I think that the trade window was berserk in the first 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Durant put in a trade request and then the whole thing stopped because everyone's just analyzing, do we have a chance to get Kevin Durant because he's one of the top 10 players, top 5 players maybe in the league, and why won't you if you have a chance, right? So all about Kevin Durant, all about Rudy Gobert, that was another insane trade that took place on today's episode.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
Let's start off with Kevin Durant. And before we even get into the details of it and the possibilities of where he could end up and all that, what is the meaning of a contract nowadays? Because Kevin Durant has 4 years left in his contract. They offered him an extension last year. He gladly took it. Why won't he? And 1 year later, here he is, after getting swept by the Boston Celtics, requesting a trade. What is the meaning of the word contract nowadays? This has happened previously as well with James Harden refusing to play for Houston and then forcing his way out of Brooklyn 2 times with James Harden.
Yeah.
And then Ben Simmons, even though he had 4 years left in his contract.
He just sat.
Yeah, I don't want to say that we know that he sat because of he didn't want to play. He cited mental reasons. I don't want to be insensitive towards it, but it didn't have a good look.
Yeah.
And now Kevin Durant, third player in 2 years, 2.5 years that's doing this. What does the word contract even mean nowadays in today's league?
I think at least in Ben Simmons' case, the contract still had some value because they were able to fine him tons and tons of money and save on cost. So at least there was some protection for the contract. But in James Harden's scene, it was absolutely farcical. Both with Houston. Houston, we've spoken about this so many times, right? Not only was this making a mockery of the contract or loyalty from a club, it was also a club that for 3, 4, 5 years did absolutely whatever Harden asked them to do. You know, you wanted this player, they got him, didn't work, dump him, get another player, got him, didn't work, dump him, get another player, didn't work. 3, 4 times they did this. They got Dwight Howard, they got Chris Paul, they got Russ Westbrook. And then ultimately, when all of this failed, what's Harden's solution? I don't care what you all do, I'm out. I just get pennies on the dollar, get whatever you can for me, but I'm out. So, you know, I'm putting you at gunpoint and asking you to turn the other way and negotiate with the with whoever's listening. And it's just bad. It's a bad look. And I think these things don't end well. Usually when you have a group of rich men, let alone rich white men, it doesn't really end very well when their money is at stake and they're being made to look like fools. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Big money always hits back. This will come up in the next collective bargaining agreement. It'll come up in the next players' union discussion, all of this stuff. But for now, yeah, not a lot. I think the superstar players control a lot. I think the NFL still has better examples. Deshaun Watson was probably the only guy that came close to making a joke of his contract before, of course, the allegations cropped up and that sort of took care of his movement. But in the NBA, the superstars have always held too much sway. Like LeBron goes wherever he wants, makes the club, bends them to their will, to his will, gets them to sign whoever he wants. I mean, Laker Nation is now Clutch Sports Nation ever since LeBron arrived, right? And he did this in multiple teams. One way or another, he'll get the people he wants. And usually when he leaves the club in shambles.
A different issue because LeBron so far is not asked out in between his contract. He's played out his entire contract.
Isn't a contract example. I'm saying it's an example of how much superstar power there exists.
He becomes a Yeah, he becomes kind of a GM with the team and he gets whatever he wants. He doesn't care about future draft picks and whatnot because he's win now.
Yeah, so if that's, you can't, no, but I'm saying if that's the muscle power of a superstar, then contracts really don't have value because you're always negotiating from a position of weakness when a superstar threatens to go out. You know it's going to happen. So then your options are try and match his expectations or just get rid of him and get the best you can in return. There's really no third option as such.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're the, I mean, you're the first person I heard the saying last year when James Harden did this whole drama that it will hurt the players in future. And I can see that happening with the collective bargaining agreement coming up, I think sometime next year. The owners are definitely going to put in some kind of clause that if you sign a four-year contract, cannot be traded for 2 years or something like that. And that's going to hurt the players, right? So the players, Kevin Durant's colleagues, they have to be more annoyed with this move than the owners, I would say, because it's going to hurt each and every one of them. And Ben Simmons, James Harden, the two other examples we spoke about, it's surprising how they all end up in Brooklyn. And that shows where you hand over your franchise to the stars, the players. This is what is going to happen because they're going to look at it from their perspective and not from the franchise's perspective. They don't care how Brooklyn is going to be functioning 10 years from now, 5 years from now. They're going to look at their how they are impacted, how they are benefiting from this whole thing. And it started with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving signing for Brooklyn Nets, good friends apparently. And then they played like 44 games together in 3 years. 44 games, that's not even like half a season. That's half a season in 3 years. There's this funny tweet that I saw that Steph Curry and Kelly Oubre Jr. played for more games together than Kyrie Irving.
In a season.
And like I said, the whole market has stopped now after Kevin Durant put in the trade request because everyone's analyzing where he could go. And Phoenix are apparently one of his preferred destinations. I'm surprised how he has a preferred destination, whereas Brooklyn Nets could just say that you're contracted to us 4 more years. We're not going to trade you. But that rarely happens in reality, does it? I mean, Brooklyn Nets could do that, but it does not happen. The player power is so much that Brooklyn Nets are better off trading Kevin Durant and getting whatever they can because they'll get a rich haul, no doubt. Teams will be ready to mortgage their future, their foreseeable future for someone like Kevin Durant. And even though you know that Kevin Durant is on the older side now and he has on his last legs, probably the last phase of his career, he's still great.
Yeah.
So there will be teams ready to mortgage his future and whatnot. Where do you think he ends up? I mean, I'll give you a few options and we can go about, we'll go about those teams and what they can do.
Celtics better be in your list, by the way.
Celtics? Okay, let's start off with that. Why would Celtics be in that list? You think Celtics would trade someone like Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant? Jaylen Brown and, of course, plus picks.
Yeah, so it's doable. All I'm saying is it's doable. It's one of the teams where it makes sense. Just a little bit more offensive firepower and it feels like that team is there. And Kevin Durant is a whole lot more offensive power, firepower. Even if you look at net delta over Jaylen Brown, it's a no contest. So Celtics are one of the few teams that actually readily have the pieces it would take to make a Kevin Durant move. Though I know Phoenix, he has his preferences and all that, but they have the pieces and they're out east, currently where the market, the conference in which Durant currently operates. Phoenix, for many reasons, would not be a very great great move, but simply put, the Western Conference this year was an aberration. It was a very weird year. Warriors were too strong, but the Western Conference was pretty fuck all, honestly. But the Lakers, you'd expect, will come back stronger. If that Kyrie thing goes through, look out. So there's the whole Lakers situation. Warriors are the Warriors. you have the Clippers, who we're going to assume they're going to come in some shape or form. Minnesota just beefed up. They're coming. Dallas is another threat.
Denver's
always a threat. Utah, they're still not done with all their moves, but I don't know where that ends up. In all of this, do you want to be in the same conference as LeBron James, as Steph Curry, and all of these other well-set teams? Or do you want to be out east where Philadelphia, it's anyone's guess where they'll end up any season? So it's broadly just, you know, if you're in the Celtics, who are already a finalist team, really it's the Bucks that stand in your way. And maybe Miami Heat if they continue to defy odds, and that's about it. It'd be the smarter move for me. That's why I like the Celtics move. It makes sense for both parties. Though it doesn't make sense as a fan to see this kind of super team building.
I don't like that move. I think Celtics are a finalist team. They almost made it to the title, right? That's the ultimate goal and they almost made it. This is with a young Jason Tatum, young Jaylen Brown, who's eventually going to get better than what they are right now.
Yeah.
And what they did in this offseason so far, they added 2 picks, Gallinari and Brogdon, which are like amazing bench pieces to get off. They are definitely people players you can play in the playoffs, which I think the Celtics lacked when it came to the finals.
But they lost Tyus though, so you know it's.
How much did Tyus play in the playoffs? So
that was sarcasm. Have you not seen me rant about Tyus in the past? About how they have never bothered to replace him.
Exactly. The Celtics added two great pieces that they can play. They can play in a playoff, probably even the final. Right? Brogdon is great. He can handle the ball. Gallinari, great 3-point shooter. And you don't need much from them. You need them to play 15-20 minutes whenever needed. And they did this without losing any of their core pieces. They didn't lose any of the starting five. They didn't lose any of their first three bench options, if I could put it that way. And they lost some picks, which won't have much value when you have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in their team anyway. They're not going to tank. They're not going to finish at the bottom. So that picks would be lower first round picks. And I think the Celtics are great. Why would you mortgage your future for someone like Kevin Durant? Because
it's a shortcut to a chip. That's about all that it is.
Yeah, I don't like that move for the Celtics. Even for the Brooklyn Nets, I would say. Because let's look at the Phoenix thing. And I think that's the best deal apart from the Warriors that could offer that the Brooklyn Nets could take. The Warriors thing is not happening because reportedly athletic rumors saying that Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Andrew Wiggins, and James Wiseman. Four players for Kevin Durant. The Brooklyn Nets would jump on that offer because Wiggins and Jordan Poole proved that they could play in big situations and young players. Wiseman and Kuminga are largely unproven but very young. They could just turn out to be great players. And I think that's too much to ask. I don't think the Warriors are doing it. I don't think they want to break what they have. Then it's a little weird to get back Kevin Durant, given the whole equation and all of that. So I don't see that's happening. But if Brooklyn Nets saw that offer, they would jump at it. So let's move on from the Warriors and talk about the Phoenix Suns. And this, for Brooklyn Nets, is the second best package they can actually get for Kevin Durant. Outside of the Warriors, which is very unlikely to happen.
Yeah, agreed.
They can get DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, two players who have made the finals. And were in the starting lineup during the finals. So, two young players who can play. Two of those guys, a trade package centered around those two. And then, whatever picks you want. Add in probably Cam Johnson, if you can try to get him in there. Because he's a good player who's largely unutilized in Phoenix so far. And then, all the picks for the next foreseeable future, right? I like that package for Brooklyn. I don't think they'll get anything better than that.
Maybe. Because I think the other contender that I mentioned, right, that have picks, like who can top Phoenix's package? Miami can. They have a whole host of players they can put together and a bunch of picks, this and that. I mean, they have been primed to land a superstar for a while now. Every season, it's like, will they, won't they.
Yep.
So one fascinating piece of contract legality that I read was, the Bam Adebayo situation, right? They can't trade Bam to Brooklyn unless Brooklyn gets rid of Ben Simmons. This I didn't know, right? This is something new because they're both on designated rookie maxes. You can't have more than one on the team, right? So that's sort of because I'm thinking, what can Miami put together that doesn't include Bam that sends Durant the other way? It's not as exciting as what Phoenix can put together. So I guess you're right. Phoenix are the best package. Now, for Durant, I get why this makes sense. Because in Booker, you have an elite scorer. It's sort of like a Kyrie-level thing for him, though I think Kyrie in his prime is way better. But for Durant, it's another scorer like that. It is an even better playmaker and a floor general than James Harden and Chris Paul. Essentially, he's recreating what he wanted in Brooklyn with a better floor general.
A little more stable players.
You're correct. Better floor general, slightly less talented Kyrie, but two guys who are more likely to be available than not. Versus the one guy who's frequently found at strip clubs and another who's frequently found at, I don't know what, meetings discussing the fate of the flat world. Yeah, the flatter. I think he's trading in stability. What do they lose, Phoenix, in the process? Not a lot, really. A bunch of young talents, maybe picks here and there, maybe some squad players. But not a lot. They were going to move Ayton on at some point. Ever since they refused that max contract, I think it's become one of those situations. Bridges is a great piece for anyone to have. People would be glad to have him.
But Bridges for KD is not even a debate, right?
Yeah, of course. So they're upgrading. Effectively, they're upgrading Bridges to KD. And they'll have to go find some value in some big guy somewhere, which I'm pretty sure they'll figure out. So I like that move. I like that move if a move has to happen. I hate that Durant wants to bail on another franchise. But if it must, then I think Phoenix. It just makes the Western Conference so much spicier. for LeBron, Steph. Imagine the drama, right? LeBron, Steph, KD all in one conference. And then Luka just pointing, flagging the finger at everyone, and Jokic and all the other, the European intrusion, if you will.
There are not many other teams who can make that kind of offers for Brooklyn Nets. And I think one team, or rather two teams, have all the picks in the world that they can. One is OKC, and that will be the most hilarious thing ever, where Kevin Durant forced his way. He wanted out of OKC and won. You know what? It looked great for his own reputation that he came back like LeBron James, who came back to Cleveland and won a title. If Kevin Durant could come back to OKC, inspire a much younger team with all their rookie picks and SGA and all of that to inspire them to a title run, I think that'll repair his damage, his reputation damage that has happened over the last few years. And I love that move. Unlikely that it's happening because he's on a win now mode, and I don't think you can win with this youngster right away. No, probably 3-4 years down the line, maybe, but not right now. And I don't see that happening. It'll be great for him. It'll be the most funniest move ever. I would love it. Not happening.
Yeah, but you know what's truly funny? If they get Durant, if they also, if the Lakers involve OKC in a 3-way trade, that somehow sends Kyrie to LA, a bunch of picks and stuff to Brooklyn, and then Westbrook to OKC to join Durant. Oh, I would pay.
I would love it. That's like absolute drama. I'm all up for it. The other team that can make a whole bunch of picks and not lose much in terms of players is the Pelicans, because they have a lot of picks as well. Yeah. And they are a team that made the first round of the playoffs, troubled the Phoenix Suns, dipped them to game 6. And now they have a returning Zion Williamson. Add that to Kevin Durant, that suddenly looks like a chip winning team. You have Zion Williamson, maybe Brandon Ingram will have to be a part of the trade. Correct. So let's exclude him.
Correct.
CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, and you'd really put them as one of the favorites in the West, wouldn't you?
So you're
that's again the West, though.
For that, yeah, but for that to happen, it would have to be only Ingram with a bunch of picks.
Yes, they have all the picks in the world. They can trade over four.
Effectively, it's KD for AD. That's the net transaction, because all those picks came in the Anthony Davis trade. So KD for AD, I like it. It has a nice ring to it. But if they have to, if Brooklyn hold out and they say we'd much rather have a package of McCollum and Ingram and whatever, blah, blah, plus, plus for KD, that makes it a little tricky. Like, would you do that? I wouldn't. If I were the Pelicans, I wouldn't do that. Because Zion, you never know what you're going to get from the guy. You're building something with Ingram. McCollum's young enough. And you have a squad you can build around. KD and Zion alone is another Brooklyn situation. You don't know if
that Zion's... can't happen, no, because Zion got his extension and he can't be traded for another 6 months. So
No, I'm not saying that... Zion should be traded. I'm saying if you have to give up both McCollum and Ingram, then you have effectively a team around KD and Zion.
Right.
With Zion, you never know when he's back, what fitness,
another
what shape
unstable
of form.
Team.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes sense for neither party to do that. So it seems speculative. I know it's technically doable, but I think that's a long shot. And I don't think any superstar, not for a while, is going to envision seeing themselves in a Pelicans uniform. I just don't think it works like that. Too much pride at stake. Because otherwise, I'd say, why isn't Timberwolves throwing in their hat to try and put something together for KD? There is no way he's going to Minnesota. I don't see it.
I would love it. I mean, just ask for Cat and get all the picks that Utah gave them. Cat and all the picks for KD and Anthony Edwards and KD. I would love to see that. I would really put them as favorites. Is the kind of superstar that you want to play with. He's a
super
winner
team,
in the future.
Man,
right?
But that's a super team. Yeah. So you have D'Angelo Russell and KD, Gobert, whoever the fuck else they play. Like, it doesn't matter who Pat Bev or whatever they play. It's good.
Yeah. Pat Bev is gone.
Oh, he's gone. Damn, how many moves happened? Wait, where is Lou Dort? Is Lou Dort still in OKC?
Lou Dort is in OKC after getting an $87.5 million contract.
Good for him.
He's a player we had not even heard, if you remember, during the bubble. And suddenly he gets that great performance against Houston. And now he's an 88
million
player.
Yeah, that's all I remember. Including Harden chucking the ball on his legs. For
one of the better defenders in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you're stuck.
No.
Okay. You're back.
Achha.
All right. That is Kevin Durant. Some of the options of where he could go to. But a big... And this is a trade that could still happen. Brooklyn could just hold on and say, no, we're not trading. That is still possible. Who knows what could happen. But a trade that did happen is the Rudy Gobert trade. Rudy Gobert moved from Utah to Minnesota Timberwolves. And Minnesota Timberwolves gave away Pat Bev.
That's what took Pat Bev. Okay. Yeah. Now
Pat Bev, Jared Vanderbilt, who was one of the starting players for Minnesota Timberwolves, and then five unprotected picks. Five. Now, my question is, before we even get into this, if Rudy Gobert can demand so much value,
what would Kevin Durant command, right?
Exactly. It's like you take a franchise, just literally rename your franchise. That's literally pretty much what is left out.
Yeah, I mean,
but
how
do you like this trade?
But you've seen AD. You've seen what it cost to get AD.
Yeah.
You've seen what it cost to get Harden each time he moved.
Yep.
And we're seeing
Joe Holiday.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so
how
you're
like
asking...
This trade? For both. I mean, for Utah and for Minnesota.
Utah, it's meaningless. I mean, they're clearly in rebuild mode. And they've clearly chosen to build around Donovan Mitchell, which we discussed this last year also. They would have to do that at some point. These two are not going to work.
Yep.
The COVID twins are not really going to get anything done. and the coach is out too, right? Utah.
It's a new coach. Danny Ainge went from Boston to Utah. Apparently, the owner is his friend. And then he hired the Celtics assistant coach as well. So he's rebuilding in Utah. We saw this rebuilding thing happen in Boston a few years earlier, right? Yeah. Where he got all the draft picks, which eventually turned into Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. And now they made a finals run. So
I think they'll have to do something similar. I think they'll have to do something similar. Donovan Mitchell puts seats in the arena. He should, at least in Utah. I can't think of too many more exciting shows on the road. And the rest will have to come through a rebuild. It's okay. I don't think for Utah, it's immediate gratification. This is something that they hope will pay off over time, kind of like the Celtics and kind of absolutely not like the 76ers. And for Minnesota, it's a very interesting gamble, right? I think in a world where increasingly teams are drifting towards small ball, this is pretty much large ball. Is that a thing?
Yep.
Big ball, large ball? This is large ball.
I mean, whatever.
We don't have too many examples of Twin Towers working in recent memory, right? I think one of the teams that tried it was the Pelicans did it for a while. They had Boogie Cousins back when he was still fit and AD.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work. Too much low post congestion and not enough three shooting. I don't know. It's a very bizarre combo. I struggle to see how this pans out. If Cat is fit, so you have D'Lo on the floor, you have Ant, you have Cat, you have Gobert, and you have whoever the hell else they play.
Whoever.
Mm-hmm. It's bizarre. It's a big gamble, let's just put it that way. That is assuming they want to stick with this and that they don't want to flip either Cat or D'Lo, which still might be a possibility.
Right. D'Lo, I thought would be a possibility and I thought he would be part of this Gobert trade whenever it happened, but surprising it wasn't. Yeah. So if he hadn't gone in this Gobert trade, or maybe Utah didn't want him, given his personality traits and not being a likable player and all of that. But if D'Lo stays, that's a team that's betting on Anthony Edwards big time, isn't it? Because he's just 20. They made a playoff run. They didn't get past the first round, but they gave Memphis a good run for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying like, okay, let's upgrade this. We see ourselves as contenders because Cat got the extension. Ant will be due for an extension next year. And then Gobert, who's on a long contract for at least two, three more years, right?
Yeah.
That means you're stuck with these three because you gave away five first-round picks. And you're betting heavy on going with Ant, Cat, and Rudy Gobert and hoping that it'll work because you pretty much are gambling everything away.
Yeah, they are. And again, I think Cat isn't great defensively. He's amazing offensively. He's not the best in the world defensively. He racks up blocks here and there, but it's not really. Over the stretch of a game, he's not that effective. If that's the void they were filling, boy, did they fill it with rim protection.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really think of anyone better. But this guy is the exact opposite offensively, Gobert. Unless it's a late game lob when everyone else is sleeping, there's not a lot he offers at that end of the floor. You know what's fascinating? These are two contrasting experiments, which are just outright gambles. One is the pairing of Cat with Gobert, assuming they hold and assuming they go to the regular season with this. That's a large ball pairing of effectively two centers. One of them is sort of a stretch pick, but
effectively it's like a 2K experiment. I would do that in the game and then see how it works out.
Correct. And then the exact opposite of this is what Atlanta are trying to do, where they have 2-point guys.
Yeah.
The most hilarious meme we saw was when both of them are on 9 assists in a game and they're passing to each other without
passing.
So it'll be fascinating to see how this turns out. I think in the modern game, I would much rather invest faith in the
guards.
Yeah, the guards experiment. I'm not saying one team will do better than the other. I'm saying I would much rather experiment with the two guard system where both are similar to each other. I think that can still work. Like Chris Paul and Harden, when both were fit, it looked like something. looked like it could have been.
They had Warriors on the ropes.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, to some extent, also Westbrook and Harden. For the brief while that they did figure it out, it looked spectacular. And then, but then, you know, the Lakers came along and that season they were just too much. But otherwise, they looked really good. So I would much rather bank on that experiment. Both can shoot off the dribble, both can create, both can get to the rim. It's nice. Versus these two, this awkward pairing of Cat and Gobert. And that's assuming even that Cat's fit for another season. Right. I was stunned last season.
Right. Yeah, I'm surprised by Minnesota's giveaway. I mean, I don't mind the move. I think Gobert is a good ad. He's a great defender. He's proven it time and again. And we'll see how it works out. But I just think they've given away way too much for Gobert. He's not someone who moves the needle. He's not someone who can get you over the hump. It's not like you're a finalist and then Gobert will make you a champion, right? It's like your first round team, Gobert will probably put you in the second round. Yeah. And I think that's way too much to give away for that. I mean, if it was those players they gave away and two protected first picks, I'd be like, two unprotected picks, I'd be like, okay, still, okay, it's two picks, but still okay. What you've done essentially is you're betting so heavily and you can't tank.
Yeah.
You can't tank for the next 5 years because you don't have any picks. So you have to be good with these guys. And if it means finishing 6th, 7th, getting to the first round of playoffs and getting eliminated for the next 5 years, you live with it because that's all you have now. And which is why I don't think it's a great move for Minnesota. I think it's a good move in the sense it makes you a different team. It makes us excited to don't know what to expect from this team. But I feel it's way too much to give away for Rudy Gobert.
The only angle where I see this working is when you look at the last 3-4 seasons of Utah getting demolished by one team or another, or even let's say the 7-game series against Denver. One thing that worked to a great extent, Dallas did this, a bunch of teams did this on Utah, is they would basically load up the court with small ball shooters.
Yeah.
They'd go five
Clippers
out.
Last year.
Yeah, five out shooters, all shooters. And then somewhere there's a mismatch with Gobert.
Yeah. Right?
The only reason they were able to do it is because when they go back at the other end, they know Gobert's a mismatch. It works both ways, right? It's a mismatch at the other end. But Gobert does little to nothing in the post. He's not that big a threat. It's not like it's Shaq you have to deal with. Teams had a net benefit of taking that gamble. That is the one gamble you can't take on Minnesota because at the other end, somebody is going to get caught out by Cat.
Right.
It's the only upside I see. Everything else is still a little bizarre. It'll take a lot of problem solving from their coach. So this is not one of those moves where I say, wow, I mean, amazing, five big names on a paper. I've seen five big names on a paper plenty of times and have it not work out plenty of times. So, yeah.
Agreed. I like it for Utah though. Five unprotected first. You're putting so much pressure on Minnesota not to tank. And whereas if you're in Utah, you'd be praying that that experiment doesn't work out and then you make or get a bonus with those picks, right? And I like it for Utah. I think they're rebuilding and I think they're rebuilding well. I mean, this is the way to go. You traded away Royce O'Neal, you traded away Gobert.
Hey, man.
Players that are not going to win your titles who are going to be good, but they're not going to win your titles. So you just like hope the picks win your titles. So
I like their odds. Five picks is a lot, right? One of those picks could easily be a high pick because one or two players getting injured in any team in any year is a very likely possibility.
Exactly. And with Cat as one of the players, well, it's very high probability. What if Cat asks out in like 2 years, like Kevin Durant, and then they're a bad team again? So I think it's a big bet on Anthony Edwards. You're expecting him to be great. I love that bet. I love Anthony Edwards.
Absolutely.
Great personality.
Absolutely.
Champion player, I would say. He's the kind of personality that wins titles, right? So I think they're betting big on that. And let's see how that works out. The other pick that you spoke about, other big trade that you spoke about briefly is the DeJounte Murray to Atlanta trade. How do you like that for the Spurs and Atlanta? And why do you think Spurs made that move?
I thought
you'd be rebuilding around DeJounte, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the Spurs are up to, frankly. It's a little hard to read what they're doing now. I think ever since Kawhi walked out, they've made a few bizarre moves. They got in DeRozan, they built around, they sort of had something going there. Then they found DeJounte Murray last season and the season before that there were Sparks. And now this happened. So it's tough to read what it is they're trying to accomplish in San Antonio. So for now, they're a non-issue. They're not really in the conversation for anything.
Right.
Let's look at Atlanta's side of the equation, right? What did they give up to get DeJounte? Sorry, I'm so clueless on...
Three first-round unprotected picks.
That's it.
And Gallinari, who cares, much of an impact for Atlanta anyways.
Yeah, so they got off easy then because their big pick they converted to Trae Young. Could have been Luka, just saying, but they got Trae Young. Now they have this guy. So they have a backcourt worth something. Always good to have people that can shoot off the dribble. Will it work? Will it not work? people, I think there's too much emphasis on the playmaking side of things. People forget how prolific a scorer Trae Young is.
Right.
What if they decide to make DeJounte the ball handler?
Ball handler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or either way, right? Both of them are really impressive scorers. It never hurts to have that option, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it worked out, right? I mean, it didn't work out for Atlanta in the series against Miami because Trae Young was a primary ball handler for every single possession and Miami just
shut
him
down. That's it, right? Shut him down and it's over. Like, we've seen Portland, brief flashes where both players were fit. How Lillard and McCollum can punish you. And it really does take an even better backcourt to take them out.
Yeah.
Or something like a LeBron AD thing where who the hell can compete. But that's what it takes to beat that sort of a Portland team. So I think I like this. That's all right.
Yeah, it's a good experiment. I like it as well. And one thing over Portland that I'd give to the Atlanta Hawks is that DeJounte Murray is a better defender than both Lillard and CJ McCollum. He's a great defender. Highest steals in the league last season. He's shown that he can stand his own against big players, whatever. I like this move. Trae Young is bad defensively. He's worse than Lillard and CJ McCollum probably. So I like the move. I like to see where they go because Atlanta have a good team and they can still flip over Capella for someone else and they have Bogdanovic still in the team. So I like the team. They've reached the conference final once and this is like an upgrade. Let's see how it goes. And I think very soon you can flip over DeJounte if you don't like him.
Correct.
It's not
absolutely.
He's a tradable piece. A lot of teams would love to have him.
That's kind of why they make a move like this, right? This kind of a player is always there. They'll always be takers for a guard like that in the market.
100%. I agree. Well, those are three big moves I wanted to talk about. There are tons of other things happening across the league. We'll come back and talk about those in another episode. But that's all on today's episode. As always, great chatting with you and I'll catch you soon.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.